Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Yes, there is one universal factor in our human condition that we began looking at last week and will continue to examine in the coming weeks, and that is change. Sometimes good, exciting, often uncomfortable, unsettling. How can we cope better with change? How can we even embrace it? Clinical psychologist Lynn Worsley joins us tonight to work through the process of change. Lynn, as always, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Lee.
Wonderful to see you. How do you, and what do you mean by the process of change? Why is it so important for us to get that it's not a sudden thing, perhaps?
Yeah, there's been a lot of interest in the process of change for many years. But recently there's been an interest in how people change and what seems to work the most in helping them to navigate change in their lives. And what's been noticed is it's actually a process. It's not something you just automatically do. And the process has a number of steps. We know that that change is inevitable. We know that there are life stages and transitions that people go through. But there are times there needs to be significant changes that people need to make or decisions that they need to make.
Yes.
So people who have addictions or dependencies, or such as smoking or using drugs, prescription or non-prescription, or using alcohol or over and under eating, those people have to make a lot of decisions, and that sort of affects most of us in order to make a change in their lives. So this involves making changes in how we behave and how we think, and also people making changes to patterns of behaviour that they've learned as a child. That's affecting their relationships. Now, that affects all of us.
Yep.
You have to make a shift in your thinking that involves, again, making significant change. And these changes can affect your personality, and it also can affect your future decisions and your life choices. But there's significant changes in a way a person navigates life-changing decisions, particularly when you're learning to follow a new faith or you change into a faith. For Christians, there's a lot written in the Bible about how we make changes in how we think or feel. And a lot of what's written has been found in psychological studies in the last 30 years. So that's really interesting. So we've got psychological studies actually confirming what we've already known for centuries.
Funny about that. So what are these, as you put it, psychological stages or processes that we go through when we make changes or when change happens to us through that process?
Okay, when we look at the process that ordinary, everyday people go through and they make changes, there's some surprisingly common characteristics in the steps that they take. Mm. There's a progression of six stages of change. There's pre-contemplation, contemplation, planning, action, maintenance, and then termination, when basically the change is in place.
Okay.
So each of the stages have different characteristics, but some have different dilemmas, some have the same dilemmas. It's hard to imagine a set of six steps, if you imagine stepping stones or a steps going up a hill.
Yes.
If you can imagine, they've got quite a high rise and they're quite difficult to negotiate. That's a bit like the stages of the change. You manage to get onto one level and then you've got to do another hike to the next one.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is concentrate on each of the stages each week, because each of the stages have significant things for us to manage.
I really think this is worth kind of working somewhat slowly through because of its universal application to us and how helpful it can be to us when we all face change. So tell us about the first stage. That's the pre-contemplation stage.
Yes. Now, in the pre-contemplation stage, it's pretty self-explanatory. You're sort of pre-contemplating. But the person's going through the thought that, you know, one day I might change, or maybe in the next 6 months, or maybe if and when I change or move or I give it up, but one day I'll get fit, those sorts of things. So they're not actually committed to anything. They have not actually said they're going to change. They sort of do the maybe.
Just thinking about it.
It's usually characterised by someone who's been uninformed or they're underinformed. It's two different things. So basically no one's told them about the need to change, or they haven't got the information that might be a possibility about changing, and they don't know about the consequences of their behaviour. So they're a little bit ignorant at this point.
But they're still contemplating changing.
Yes. They're pre-contemplating.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, okay.
They may not realise that the behaviour is having an effect on other people or their health or the relationships. And they might think that other ways could be good, but they don't really see any connections with the behaviours that they've got at the moment and their thinking patterns.
Okay.
So during this stage, they might also be in a stage of denial that it's really a problem, or they could be quite defensive about the problem that it might exist, so they don't really want to talk about it. So this decision-making, this stage is characterised by underestimating the benefits of changing and overestimating the cost of changing. So it can be seen in the hesitation in business decisions. It can be seen in family planning decisions that are difficult, as well as making decisions with your faith or deeper meaningful parts of your life.
I'm sure this pre-contemplation, again, applies to so many of us.
That's
or
right.
All of us. How long does that phase, I suppose it's not typically, but how long can that phase last? Or is it a fleeting kind of stage?
Well, people can stay in this stage for years.
Yes, okay.
They could do considerable damage to their bodies themselves or other people. But there's no inherent motivation for people to progress from one stage to the next. And I think this is something that's really interesting and quite key for us to hold on to, is that you don't have to get through this stage in order to survive.
No.
You can just stay there.
Yep.
So it's not like human development where you crawl and then you stand up against a table and then you learn to walk. It's sort of like you just stay in that one stage. And the research has shown that there are two forces that motivate people to want to move into the next phase.
Okay.
And the first one, there seems to be a shift that occurs to people around the age of 39. Not,
really?
Not 40, not 38, but 39.
It's kind of before the midlife crisis age.
Yes. And this is where they show much better success at maintaining changes, such as giving up smoking, which is a lot of the studies are looking at people giving up smoking.
How interesting.
And that's a bit like, yes, a midlife crisis.
Yeah.
But at this age, people reevaluate how they've been living. They consider whether they want to die from the way they've been living or they want to live something different.
It's quite a question to pre-contemplate.
Yes, that's right. The second thing is an environmental change. So something could happen in the environment that causes a person to actually reassess their way of living. For example, there's a study that looks at a couple that were both heavy smokers, and their dog of many years dies of lung cancer and eventually moves the wife to actually quit smoking.
Wow.
But for his part, the husband just bought a new dog. So it's interesting, but what we've been told that we've got to wait for something dramatic to happen or we've got to turn 39 in order to make a change, well, what we know is that those things can be fleeting.
Yes.
And we may not actually make the changes. And what we know in psychology is that there are many interventions that we can put in place to actually help people to become motivated to move into that. And that's where psychologists come in place.
So you 39-year-olds, about it's time to start contemplating your change, move out of that pre-contemplation stage.
Yes.
So what are some of the interventions that can help someone shift through that kind of stage?
Well, in order to help people move through the phases, we need to actually give them the benefit of changing. We need to show them why it would be good to change.
Yeah.
And one of the best things we can do is rather than, like we've talked in the previous weeks, rather than focus on the things that are going wrong and all the bad things that are happening, is actually give them a picture of the hope and the new changes that could happen and how that would benefit them. So I guess here what we're doing is looking at the hope, the thought of something new and something different and giving them some benefits of what would happen when the change is in place.
Okay, so can you give us some examples of how we can have conversations about the changes that are needed when they're at this particular stage?
Okay, let's for example look at someone who's been drinking too much.
Okay.
You could say something like, look, it's hard on us when you drink too much because you feel like we feel like you're not yourself. And people pull away from you and they don't want to ask you to do things and they just avoid you. So it's much better when you're more alert, when you're able to stay involved in the conversation, and everyone loves it when you have got something to say when you're sober.
Okay.
So that's a sort of giving them a feedback, but it's also telling them what's happening when they're doing things. So they see the consequence. Plus they see the alternative.
That's right. So yes. It's not all negative.
Yes. No. And I think it's really important that whatever you say to someone, you say it in love. You don't give it to them with a, I'm going to tell you what you're doing wrong and therefore you're going to change. Well, you tell someone who's in this pre-contemplation stage all the things that they're doing wrong, they have every reason to stay there because they've got no motivation to move to the next point.
Yes.
Because there's no better future.
Yeah.
So the point is, if we want to help someone through the process of change here, is actually paint for them a better future.
Yeah. So that's the first stage, pre-contemplation. Take us through just a preview of what we're going to be dealing with next week.
Okay, what we're looking at is contemplation, and that's that next jump. And that opens up to the love-hate relationship of making a change. The things we like about it, you know, when we've decided to go on that diet or we're heading towards it, and the love-hate part of it, and also the procrastination. About the gonna. I'm gonna do it one day, don't worry.
I think we all know a bit about that.
Yes.
Lynn Worsley, as always, thank you so much for joining us on Open House.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.